everybody. Ben Starr here with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And I'm here in the studio, as always, as ever, with Kevin O'Donohue, director of the Positive Mind Center here on West 57th Street. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Ben. Positive day.
Positive day. Yes, of course. Finally, it's over, as we've all been kind of waiting
for.
Two things are over.
The fun drive is over.
That's right.
Right.
The fun drive is over, and thanks to everyone who contributed and who called in and supported us during that October fun drive.
Great responses.
You know, we rely on listener contributions, and we can't do it without you. And we want to thank those of you who helped us out during the month of October with
all
contributions.
All the books went. We went through all the Enneagram books.
Fantastic. And of course, today is Election Day, and we tend to stay away from politics. We're going to try to keep it positive today.
It is.
As always. Yeah. But, you know, given what today is, it is a struggle. It's a challenge at times to remain that way.
Yeah.
But
it's a great day out. Today
is
a beautiful day.
It is.
You know, the fall colors are out.
Absolutely.
It's warm. Nobody can complain about the weather for, you know, that they didn't vote because of the weather.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, Kevin, like I said, we don't like to get into politics
very much.
It's something that we stay away from. We focus on matters of the heart and the spirit. But today, it's really almost inescapable. And the fact that we're on the air today, we felt compelled. We felt a responsibility and a duty to talk about the election, but not from a political perspective necessarily, from the spiritual, from the emotional, from the psychological standpoint that we approach most of our topics here on The Positive Mind.
I mean, the
overwhelming emotion that I see out there, and you can cut the tension like a knife today in Manhattan. I mean, a lot of street closures. Just coming up here, cameras everywhere. We are located right in Midtown, almost smack in the middle of where both of the candidates will be having their election night parties, right? There's going to be a Hillary event at the Javits Center, and presumably Trump will be at Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue.
Yep.
And we're kind of right smack in the middle of those two. And I can tell you, just coming up here, I saw TV cameras everywhere, Kevin. Lining 6th Avenue, 57th Street. I saw police everywhere. There's a heavy police presence today.
Sure.
It's the first time since, I think, the 30s that both candidates will be in the city on Election Eve, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So we're right
both
in the
New Yorkers.
We're right in the thick of it here. And I got to say, Kevin, I think the overwhelming emotion is people are glad that this is about to be over.
Well, I was going to say before we go on, you know, that I'm glad we're not going to be partisan or political today because, you know, there is so much to learn from this experience that we've all been through. I mean, the good news is that people have feelings. They feel things. You know, if you've been watching the media and television and listening to the radio, you know, and who hasn't, you are definitely feeling something and have felt something through this time. I think everybody's gone through a gamut of feelings, a roller coaster of feelings. I mean, I think everybody, well, you're going to be reading certain feelings people have had, but I think exhaustion is a big feeling people have been running in up against. So, you know, the good news is that this race, this election has caused people to really confront their own physical reactions to the candidates and the media and the message and the sound bites and everything. I think to a man, to a person, everybody is having some kind of physical gut reaction when they've been watching these candidates and what's been going on. And I think everybody's tired.
So, tired, Kevin. You know, it's unbelievable. It feels like this election cycle has been going on since 1997. I mean, it's been never ending. And I think everyone is ready to see it finally be over. I have an interesting exit poll here. It's a different kind of exit poll. It's not about the results of the election, but let me see where this exit poll came from. This looks like it was a nationwide exit poll that's been done early in the day, and it's a poll about emotions, which is our bread and butter here on The Positive Mind. And, of course, some of these percentages will add up to more than 100 because, of course, it's possible to hold different emotions at the same time about a subject. But overwhelmingly, the most common feeling about this election in this exit poll when voters were asked to describe how they feel about the presidential election, 85% said they just want it to be over.
Right.
I mean, that is the highest number on there.
Sure.
And that, of course, is going to cut across, you know, multiple views and parties and positions and stances. Everyone has got this election fatigue, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk a little bit about that coming up. But I want to also
sort of hijacked our attention. I mean, this election, especially in the last 2 months with the debates, the start of the debates, it's hijacked. It's literally hijacked everybody's focus. Everybody's, and I think people resent it.
Yeah.
You know, we're resenting that the message is everywhere you turn. And we want, you know, we want spontaneity. We want relief from this constant message. So,
here's some other
a surprise to me. Yeah.
Here's some other tidbits from that exit poll of emotions of American voters. The next most common emotion after people who just want it to be over is anxiety and nervousness, about 7 in 10.
Right.
Feel a sense of anxiety or nervousness. So again,
so this is nationwide. It's not just New York.
Right. This is an exit poll that seems to have been done nationwide between Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah.
And more than half of voters described their feeling either angry or sad about this election. Only 25% of voters said that they're feeling happy about this election.
Okay.
You had 29% of voters saying they feel proud, and 39% feeling depressed.
Mm.
It's an interesting snapshot of the voting public, and
I have all those feelings.
Yeah, I mean, these emotions have been running high throughout this campaign. Obviously, there's it's a very unusual campaign for a variety of reasons. Both of these candidates are unique in their own ways, and people have been very strongly polarized in either direction. And we want to talk about that. We also want to talk about election fatigue, Kevin.
Yeah. I call it post-election fatigue syndrome.
Post-election
pre-election and post-election. I mean, I think we sort of have post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms. I mean, I know that I was like avoiding the commercials, avoiding the debates, avoiding, you know, the classic Democrat station, the classic Republican station on the television. I mean, I was literally, you know, I would get a glimpse of it and I would immediately move off, just simply because I was shell-shocked. It was almost like post-war syndrome where, you know, I feel shell-shocked by the barrage and I don't want to process it. I don't really want to hear it again. And then the other aspect of it was always going to be the same thing anyway.
Sure.
You knew it was just going to be
and that's what's so astonishing, Kevin, when you hear their polls out there saying that there's still undecided voters. It kind of makes you wonder, what more information do you need? The choice is very clear cut. They stand in stark contrast.
Yeah.
The fact that they're, you know, whatever percent it is, even if it's a handful of percent of undecided, it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, the choice couldn't be clearer. You know, even like 4 years ago, Obama, Romney, I mean, it wasn't as stark a contrast as what we have now. So to be undecided at this point, what could be leading people to be still undecided? I'm sure it's not mental clarity or confusion. I think it's more emotional that people haven't been able to make a decision. And I think more than probably any other election, this election is based deeply in emotion.
Yes. And I think maybe, Kevin, it comes down to the negativity that's been surrounding both candidates.
Mm-hmm.
I think when people get a phone call from someone who's doing a poll asking them who they're voting for, there's so much negativity and vitriol surrounding either candidate that people may not necessarily want to even share who they're voting for.
Sure. Everybody's guarded to share who they're voting for. I haven't disclosed it to people, and I don't ask people. More so, I would have been more inclined 4 years ago, but now it's a dangerous answer on the other end. If you ask the question, you have to be able to, you know, tolerate and listen and be sympathetic or at least understanding of why the person's picking. I haven't asked because I just don't want to be engaged that way.
Well, we've seen numbers coming in saying that up to 10% of people in this country claim that they've lost friends as a result of this heated election. Yeah. And that is very sad to me because I think, you know, regardless, there are people that I disagree with politically. It doesn't affect how I feel about them on a personal level. You know, I'm able to compartmentalize that and put that to the side.
Really?
Yeah. Really, really.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of my oldest friends revealed to me that he's making a political choice that I really don't agree with. And yet, that's okay. You know, we don't have to be on the same page as far as that's concerned.
Yeah.
You know, our friendship, the history that we share, to me, outweighs, you know, the years and years of friendship that we've shared outweighs the disagreement that we have in the political arena. And I think that's going to be very important moving forward past this election if we're able to heal and come back together as a country.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be such an important job and an important thing to do. I mean, think about it. We have just, 3 weeks away, right? Thanksgiving is coming up.
Yeah.
Families, loved ones are going to be all getting together, sitting around that table. And it's going to be really important to, you know, either find a sense of unity and understanding and love for one another regardless, or just not talk about it, yeah. frankly.
I think it's also, you know, a useful tool will be imagination. I think you have to imagine your other choice, your not your choice, winning, and spend some time thinking about that and entertaining what does all that mean and getting okay with it. Because, you know, some people are going to be so depressed by the result that, you know, they're going to be, they'll be frozen in a kind of hopelessness. I mean, I could have seen that for myself a couple of weeks ago, thinking, oh gosh, if this happens, what's going to, you know, I don't know if I can bear it. But then I was, you know, just recently realized you have to take time to imagine, not the worst, imagine the country going forward positively with whoever is going to be elected, because we're not going to fall apart. We haven't fallen apart. And
tomorrow morning, you know, the sun's going to come up and, yeah. you know, we're still expected to be at work and to handle our responsibilities, to be there for our families, to be there for our loved ones, our coworkers. And so that's, I agree, Kevin, that regardless of the result, it's going to be important for us to find that compassion and healing to be able to deal and move forward.
And it's going to be within each individual. They're going to have to look at it and see it themselves. Imagine the other candidate winning, and what would I do? How do I do it? How do I get ready for that? Armand would recommend the same thing. He always said be proactive about, you know, a tragedy or something coming that you don't want to happen, but to be armed in advance. And so to me, I think it's an imaginative exercise to picture the other person winning. And how am I going to handle it in a proactive way? So that's going to be something everybody's going to have to do. And I hope Thanksgiving, everybody's ready for that, you know, to have a little more mental flexibility at the dinner table.
Because everyone at their Thanksgiving table has that one relative or that one side of the family that they really don't agree with.
Who's going to kick it.
And that's going to be important. Tensions are running high. It's 99.5 FM. It's 1:15. You're listening to The Positive Mind here on WBAI. We never really do politics, but today we really couldn't resist the opportunity.
It's not politics day. It's Hope Day.
Let's hope.
It's a hope day.
Let's hope.
It's a belief day. It's a proud day. I mean, I was proud coming out of the poll today. I mean, everybody was, it was peaceful. It was pleasant. Everybody, it was efficient. It was the most efficient election I've ever voted in.
That's good because I got up bright and early to go to my polling place, yeah. and there was a line of like 400 people.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, maybe I'll do it later. Well, very civil, just, you know, the line was wrapped around the block and I had to be here. I didn't have the time to wait on that long line.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'll try again this afternoon and, you know, if not this evening. But I got to tell you, Kevin, I've never registered with a political party, political party. So I've never voted in a primary.
Yeah.
You know, I've never done any of that stuff,
okay.
and I am not enthused about our choices either way.
Okay.
I think I don't see, you know, again, it's a positive mind. We like to stay optimistic, stay hopeful, but I think it's you know, it's a tough reflection on our democracy and our country.
I wonder if it's the process of how we got here so much that, because we really didn't hear so much substance. Certainly not in the debates.
No.
Certainly not in the commercials.
Well, it became
certainly
all about,
not from
it
the
became
spokespeople.
All about personalities
so, yeah.
and sensationalism. And I think that that's, I don't think that people are served by that.
Yeah, and it's a good lesson for psychology because we really just got the surface of both these people. We really don't know them. We think we know them. And we've been delivered, presented a package of who these people really are. But we really don't. And so it's a surface vote. We don't really know. There was no policy discussion. And I'm wondering if you're so discouraged that because it just didn't get to any substance. They didn't talk about Bosnia. They didn't, I mean, other than in an attack, they didn't talk about Libya. You know, there were sound bites about Libya. Or, you know, they didn't talk about how we're going to get jobs back in this country. I mean, specifically, it didn't go anywhere in that. And that was, you know, the biggest frustrating thing. I didn't know who was saying what.
I'll tell you, Kevin, around this time last year, I reached out to three different campaigns. I reached out to Bernie Sanders. I reached out to Hillary Clinton. And I reached out to Donald Trump, and I offered them all an opportunity to come and be on the show.
You
and
spoke to their people.
I reached out to their campaigns.
Oh, okay.
I didn't speak to them in necessarily. It was a lot of emailing back and forth.
Oh, okay.
Bernie's campaign actually got back to me and said they'd be very interested. I gave them our details, and then never heard back.
Oh, okay.
I got completely blown off by the other two, which I wasn't surprised about.
Right.
And then, we had Jill Stein here on WBAI.
Last week?
Just last week, who I think is probably the candidate that best espouses WBAI's values and Pacifica's listenership.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that that was really a special thing that she did that and that she came on and spoke to our audiences. I don't believe necessarily in lesser evilism. I think you can cast a principled vote regardless.
Good.
But that's just me,
Yeah.
A lot of people...
Well, listen, going forward, mental health is going to be such a huge topic for the next president and the country in general. So we should be able to get a lot of politicians in here on our show talking about the positive aspects of mental health and mental health treatment and mental health services. Whatever happens going forward, I think these politicians are going to want to get out a positive message about delivering services.
Absolutely. We've reached out to the mayor as well. And so if you're listening, Billy, the door's always open. We'd love to have you on and do an interview. But I agree with you, Kevin.
That.
I think that this has been a huge time for mental health and examining that from a political and sociological perspective.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are going through it. A lot of people are feeling that anxiety, that tension.
Yeah, I think it's a useful exercise for each person who's listening today to ask themselves, what have you gone through? Really, what have you experienced? I mean, we can feel so deadened by our society and things going on out there and by our jobs and our responsibilities and everything. But here's a touchstone. These two candidates, this whole process, unleashed feelings in each person. You're alive. Everybody out there is alive. You've gone through something. You've experienced it. And it's a good exercise to ask yourself, what is it I've gone through? Was it a roller coaster? Was it a boat on a lake? Was it a smooth ride? How did I feel? What did I go through? What were the valleys? What were the peaks? I know that I was irritable at certain points through it. I was avoidant. I had classic PTSD, so I avoided the TV stations, certain stations.
What about your clients? How many of them have spoken to you about this election?
Totally exhausted. Everybody is totally exhausted.
Every one of them bring it up to you?
Everyone brings it up, I shortchange it because, I'd rather deal with the physical symptom and the mental symptom than talk about the candidates. I mean, I'm not going to take a position on that. But in general, it's depression, hopelessness, fatigue, excitability, avoidance, shell shock, irritability, all these symptoms, fear, real fear, because a lot's on the line.
I kind of connected with what you said about examining the personal feelings and the personal symptoms. A friend of mine told me that he's been feeling massive anxiety around the election, and he actually brought it up with his therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And his therapist said, I don't want to hear about that. I want to hear about what's going on with you. because the obsession, this national obsession that we've had with the race, has been a vehicle to externalizing what's going on with us on a personal level.
Sure, sure.
And so his therapist encouraged him to look past that and to look inside at what he was struggling with himself and where he was feeling with regards to his own fears and insecurities and challenges.
Yeah, and what areas of your life are you having similar feelings which you're denying and projecting and placing all on this election? Because if you're depressed and you're hopeless, you know, it's not just because there's an election going on. It's not just because what's happening in your country. It's often because of something going on in you. And what areas of your life, your relationships, your career, your children, your responsibilities, your physical health, addictions, whatever it may be, what other things mirror and have these same anxiety feelings that you're not willing to face and you know, apply and understand and look at to get to the bottom of, but you're putting it all on an election.
Well, you know, I know, Kevin.
We've always gone
forward. It's a good point. When I'm functioning at my best, I'm not worried about a lot of external things. When I'm taking care of
exactly
what I need to do,
right,
when I'm, as they say, doing the next right thing, yep, I think that's so important.
Yeah.
I'm not so worried about the external world. It's mm-hmm. when I'm mm-hmm. not happy with myself. It's right. when I know that I am not necessarily taking care of myself the way I need to be, honoring myself, mm-hmm. Taking responsibility for myself. That's when it becomes easy to slip into a negative, fear-driven yeah. view of the outside world.
Right. Finances. I mean, if your finances are in disarray, and that's often a question I'll ask people, how are you doing, you know, with your finances? I mean, how frustrated are you with your work? What kind of hopelessness is going on there? Because, you know, these concern about the external, the voting, you know, the country, the future, becomes the excuse to not face the real terror, the real panic, the thing that's really agitating me. But it's a useful starting point, you know. If you're okay, you're hopeless about the country, let's see where this feeling is in your body. Let's see where this anxiety goes, and let's see if it's rooted and connected to something else. When else did you feel this kind of anxiety? For a lot of people, this is the first time they felt this way. So, you know, it's an interesting exploration to see where else in their life they've had these feelings but haven't really tapped into them. And so this election is pointing in a direction of issues that they otherwise wouldn't have faced, wouldn't have had. So it's really a door opener, this whole 18-month process for people. And I encourage people to sit down and really measure what feelings they've gone through. Did your clicker finger for the television get faster over the last couple of months because you just couldn't bear to see another commercial? You couldn't bear to see another message, a canned message. Virtually, you're avoiding being hijacked. So yeah, it's a good thing, but you know, I'm sure a lot of people have gotten good at it.
It's pretty crazy how these election cycles seem to get longer and longer and longer every time. Yeah. I imagine that the 2020 race will start in early of next year, at the rate we're going. I mean,
next Christmas.
Yeah, it really should be limited. I think.
Yeah.
I know in other countries, you know, it's not nearly this long. It lasts maybe a few months, and I think a big part of that is the immense amount of money that's involved.
Sure.
You know, if there weren't so much money at play.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look, all the TV networks have hit record profits this year because they know it's great for ratings. It drives their ratings.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all the major cable news networks have hit record profits. I mean, we're talking in like the hundreds of millions, billions. Huge amounts of money.
Wow.
So they may say one thing or another, but at the end of the day, they have a vested interest in making sure that it's this 24-hour round-the-clock siege on our national collective psyche.
Just even the names of the candidates. I mean, if I hear the name one more time, I have a reaction when I hear the name.
Yeah.
You know, so obviously they've made money saying the name. And sometimes if you just turn right to the station, you'll hear the name within the first three or four words.
Yeah.
So maybe they just have kept repeating the name just in order to get their, you know, get higher higher, more money.
Unbelievable. But well, listen, anyway, Kevin, I can
over.
Tell you that I
it's
feel I feel a physical lightning in my body, knowing that this is the last day, and that with, you know, with any luck, that this will be over tonight at some point. And we won't have like a 2000 style thing where we just take this and it keeps going and going and going. Because that's, I think, the worst outcome possible. Is like a protracted, you know, litigated thing. Let's just have it end, please, you know? You're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM, WBAI. And I want to thank once again those of you who contributed during our October fund drive. And a reminder, if you want to help us curb future fund drives and have less of those, you can become a BAI buddy. Become a WBAI buddy in the name of The Positive Mind by going to WBAI.org. And you'll see right there on the website, there is a link to becoming a BAI buddy. And what it is it's a small monthly tax deductible recurring contribution, and it helps us avoid future fund drives. So if you'd like to hear more programming and less fundraising, I encourage you to go to WBAI.org. On the right-hand side of the screen, you can click on Ways to Donate and go down to WBAI Buddy. Make sure that you specify The Positive Mind as your favorite show. And just a little more housekeeping stuff, Kevin. We are not going to do any more election or politics stuff tomorrow. We actually have a fantastic guest.
Yes, Mark Nepo, who was at the Open Center on Friday night. And Mark is a poet and a cancer survivor, and he's written a book called Inside the Miracle. And it's about his struggle and his triumph over cancer. And it has a lot of positive messages. There's a bunch of poems in there. It's just an hour is going to be too short tomorrow. The hour is going to fly by. He's been on Oprah a couple of years. He's also won Best Spiritual Writing for 2014, 2015. He's really well known in the field, and his book is really a tour through suffering and how suffering transforms into integrity and wholeness and peace. So it's a real positive message, and he's going to actually read
definitely timely too.
Yeah, well, we'll all be healing tomorrow, and we've all been through a sort of illness. So he's a perfect guest, and he's going to be perfect Friday night also. He'll be reading and sharing the power of poetry on Friday night. His new book of poems, The Way Under the Way, will be featured, and he's going to teach how to write poetry. So it's going to be an interesting workshop on Friday night, but he's going to read some poems and talk about his journey into wholeness. And it's a really remarkable thing.
So that's tomorrow, at 1 p.m. Yes, we'll be back here with an interview with a cancer survivor, incredibly positive man.
Very much.
And we encourage you to tune in for that. It's about half past the hour. We're going to take a short musical break. I realize, you know, we need something that feels good. We need something that feels healing and that feels
this is one of our own.
Peaceful.
This is a man of our country.
We'll be back after this.
Skies for amber waves of grain. A purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. But now wait a minute, I'm talking about America, sweet America. You know, God done shed his grace on thee. He crowned thy good. Yes, he did. Heavy brotherhood from sea to shining sea. You know, I wish I had somebody to help me sing this.
Charles here on The Positive Mind. Listen, I just want everyone to get along. I want us to come back together. It's the divisiveness, the rage, the hatred, the anger. It's got to go. And it's, I don't know, when I that song touches me, and Ray Charles always does it for me. So
yeah, what a message. Message of hope and brotherhood and going forward.
Absolutely.
And so it's so appropriate for our show and appropriate for today. So, the genius, Ray Charles, he covers a lot of ground in that 3 minutes.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM, WBAI. We're talking about this election. We're talking about election fatigue, the voters' emotions. We talked about an interesting exit poll earlier in the hour, talking about voter emotions on this election day at the end of this painfully long election cycle. And the number one voter emotion of all voters surveyed, the number one sentiment was just glad that this is finally over.
Relief.
Relieved. Relief. Yeah.
The baby has been born. To me, it's been a long labor, and it feels like a baby has been born. You know, it feels like a new birth out there. It's so pretty day out, and so tomorrow will be a new beginning. So it's been a long labor we've been through. So relief makes a lot of sense to me. But we were also talking about what goes into what people decide and how people make their decision on who to vote for.
And it's a complex process.
And it is. I mean,
from a psychological perspective.
It is. You think, you know, and probably more so this time around because there was such an appeal to emotion and such a hijack of the intelligence of people and for people. Maybe, you know, I'm wondering if you, sort of part of your attitude is like your intelligence has been insulted through this whole process. I mean, at a certain point, you felt like you gave up.
I did.
You want to tell us about that?
Well, I think the election was intensely interesting to me during the primaries. Mm-hmm. And when I saw the way the primaries played out, specifically with what happened to Bernie Sanders in California, I kind of disengaged. I'll be honest with you. It felt discouraging to me. It felt, I don't know, very, very hard to really verbalize just the emotions that brought to me. But after that, I mean, I hardly paid attention throughout the summer. I was already election fatigued by the end of the primaries.
Yeah.
You know, I hardly watched anything all summer until the debates. I watched maybe one and a half of the three debates.
Yeah.
But,
and what happened out there, it really led to such disagreement within people in general. And it prolonged the debate, you know, on the left as to what we're up against, what people were fighting against and fighting for, that it took a long time to get Bernie Sanders people back into any kind of confidence in the system. I'm not even sure they got that.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I guess for you, you just sort of shut it off, huh?
Yeah. I mean, look, I was following pretty intensely during the primaries, and there were things that worried me in terms of how the vote happened and how the vote corresponded to the polls in the mm-hmm. primaries. And at that point, I just, you know, it was taking too much of my spirit, of my energy.
Yeah.
I let it go. I stopped really focusing on it. And, you know, I think a lot of people felt hurt and betrayed by the whole process on all sides, really.
Yeah.
Everyone has their gripes for how they were, you know, let down or treated unfairly, whether it's, you know, the Bernie Sanders, you know, fighting the establishment in the primaries, or, mm-hmm. you know, the Hillary camp is upset with this whole emails thing that doesn't seem to go away.
Yeah.
The Trump camp, you know, thinks that the media has had it in the bag against them. And, you know, all three of those may have a, you know, a degree of legitimacy to them. But right. I didn't have the energy to keep going with it. My election fatigue was 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, from then I kept following, but not as intensely. Yeah. I will say, you touched on the cognitive dissonance aspect, Kevin. And
yeah, the intellectual aspect of choosing something and how we get mixed messages. And we certainly got mixed messages through this cycle of electioning. So tell people about cognitive dissonance.
Sure. Well, it's a topic that we love to go into all the time here on The Positive Mind,
yeah.
because it's so fascinating and it's so complex from a psychological standpoint. Cognitive dissonance is when people hold conflicting beliefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
When people's worldview may conflict with
reality,
when people's beliefs may not match their behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of I want to have my cake and eat it too, yeah. in a lot of ways.
Mm.
It's what someone in an abusive relationship might feel when, you know, they're abused by their partner, but they at the same time they love their partner, or mm. you know, or their partner abuses them and then says, "I love you."
Yeah.
That's an example of cognitive dissonance.
Yeah, and it's tough on younger people. I mean, it begins in childhood often. You know, if you see, you know, your parents hit you, and then they also say, "I love you."
Right.
You know, there's cognitive dissonance, and the system isn't geared to understand this contradiction. So, you know, the kid seizes up, the brain seizes up. It has its reaction, and often symptoms can follow from it.
You know, this election has had so much cognitive dissonance, Kevin, on all sides that it's made my head spin, frankly,
yeah.
When you see, you know, there's yeah. a lot, especially when it comes to money, right? Money is, everything is always tends to be about money. They say follow the money, you know, if you want to understand what's going on.
Yeah, and money gets you elected.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And so when you look at, you know, millions of working class Americans lining up behind a billionaire, that's an example of cognitive dissonance.
Yeah, who's, you know, refusing to raise the minimum wage.
Working class people who say, you know, well, you know, politicians have always let me down, so I'm going to now back a billionaire. That doesn't make any sense. And likewise,
yeah.
when you see the left and the establishment of the so-called left is lining up with, you know, big banks and multinational corporations and the Goldman Sachs of the world, you know, that's big time cognitive dissonance,
yeah.
and being able to stand for progressive values and also support that. So the cognitive dissonance has been on all sides, really. And it's fascinating. It's a fascinating look into the psyche of our country right now. And look, whoever wins, I think that's only going to continue.
Yeah, I mean, as a society gets more complicated, America, you know, has so many conflicting messages itself. You know, it says we're all created equal, and then, you know, if you're driving your car on the highway and you get pulled over time after time after time after time, well, somehow this idea of we're all created equal just doesn't make sense. And we've been striving for equality, you know, for as long as we've been around in different varieties. And it's still not achieved. And as the country gets more fragmented and the class system becomes more stark, and those who have much more than those who don't, the conflict between the message of America and the reality of America becomes really difficult to pull together. So the cognitive dissonance is just a fact of life. And it can be a tool of greater complexity for the mind and for the human being. As a child, you can't understand how can my mother love me if she hits me, or my daddy love me if he hits me. But as you get older, you know, this cognitive dissonance creates a kind of war within your mind that you, if you stick with it, you can come to the end of and become see the intricacies of people's motivations and things.
Absolutely. I mean, look, even when you look at both of the parties, right, I think the history of those parties and their supporters is one of extreme cognitive dissonance. Because I think that in both cases, often the rank and file supporters are often, you know, voting against their own interests. It's like a weird Stockholm syndrome that happens, right?
Right.
And I think that is fascinating. I think that there will be a multitude of books and movies about this election cycle in the coming years.
Oh, sure.
Regardless of the result, there will be so
a lot
much
of psychology books.
Absolutely.
You know, I think from the psychological perspective, you're going to see more books than ever before on cognitive dissonance and this election and what tools people are using to make decisions. And if people are really making decisions from a biased point of view like you say, the Stockholm syndrome, being influenced by the message outside of their own mind. I mean, what is it that's going into people's choices? I think this election is really going to create a storm of books and articles and all types of media on psychology and voting. So it's going to be... And then, you know, we did through the fund drive, and I was thinking for the fund drive, we were doing the Enneagram. And what is it Enneagram numbers pick? And what do they use to make their decisions? Because if you can't use logic and reason, you're often going to use instinct and projection. You're going to say, oh, I like her or I like him, and I think I like him for what he's going to do for the country. But really, I like him because he's like me. You know, he has qualities that I see in myself, or she has qualities that I see in myself that I want to see a leader promote and enact. So if you're a one, like we were talking about, you like perfectionism. If you like you know, the struggle for the one is to be good. You know, they have this tremendous fear of being bad and being seen as bad. So you would.
So ones are probably not voting. Is that what you're saying?
Well, they're very dutiful. They're part of the dutiful three types that we said, the one, two, and the six. But so they're out there for sure, you know. But they want a candidate with integrity. I mean, that's the biggest thing. So and then the two, you know, the two is always looking for, the helper is looking for somebody who puts somebody else's needs first, who's always looking out for somebody else, you know, so they'll gravitate to a certain candidate. And then the achiever is looking for somebody who is always striving for success, you know, is a workhorse and is just trying to achieve different types of things.
The nine, I think Barack Obama, the candidate, was a nine.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, they changed. But
I don't think he's been a nine as president.
Yeah, they say he's a three.
Yeah.
Russ Hudson and Don Riso,
I believe Obama, the candidate, was a nine, and people really, really connected with
that. Of course, he wanted to bring people together.
Yeah.
He was a peacemaker, a mediator, and that's what the nine does. And so if you want peace, you're looking for the candidate that's going to enact peace. If you want security, like the six is always looking for security, is trying to quiet their doubting mind. They want to look for somebody who can make them feel safe. And that's another aspect to this election, you know. You're really voting for a father figure, even if it's a woman. You're looking for somebody who's going to protect us.
Yeah, I've heard people say the election is mommy versus daddy.
Yeah.
I think that's really, I mean, it may be an oversimplification, but, you know, yes, I think people are looking for
ultimately
an emotional, you know, sort of parental figure.
Yeah, somebody who's going to steer and guide. And, you know, whether it's the economy,
can you
whether it's social services.
Kevin, could you imagine if either one of them were your parents? I don't want to think about it.
Yeah, you know, they'd never be around, so yeah. I'd resent them terribly.
Yeah.
So I don't know how the children of these candidates are doing psychologically. We're open for business here at the Positive Mind Center for any candidate's children. I think they all need it, but that's another story. They've been through a trauma through this whole process, never being exposed to a media blitz like this. I mean, they must, you know, be shop-worn and shell-shocked.
Absolutely.
And have a confused identity around this. You know, they have to buy the party line, even if they don't agree with their parent. And you were saying about what I think is like true believers. There's nothing more fun than watching a true believer putting out a message and really seeing the cognitive dissonance going on within them.
Or the mental,
and how they
the mental
keep
gymnastics
out.
That people have to do. To yeah, you know, to support yeah. one candidate or the other, when you know they may actually clash with their own you know worldview or their own identities.
Yeah, so people need to decompress after an experience like this. So the candidate's children, I'm sure, especially, you know, I've booked the month of November off somewhere on an island to regroup and get back in touch with who they might be. So. Cognitive dissonance and the Enneagram, you know. So the seven is looking for somebody who is always going to create opportunities, you know, more fun, different, like open trade
variety.
To the whole world. You
variety.
Know? Variety, you know, and somebody who's not going to trap us in some kind of pain. And the eight is looking, and the eight is the real protector, the leader. And, you know, they're looking for justice and keep the world safe.
Right.
So you
those
know,
of you, those of you who tuned into our Fun Drive or who have been longtime listeners, you know all about the Enneagram. And if you don't, send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. We're always happy to hear from our listeners. We try to reply as soon as we can to your messages. That's positivemind@wbai.org. You are listening to a special edition of The Positive Mind. We almost never, ever cover any kind of political topics. It's very rare.
We should talk about tomorrow. What do you think? Where did you want to go with this today? I mean, it's true. We never talk about politics, and I think we're doing a good job of not really taking a side. And we're talking about the emotional and psychological.
Well,
aspects.
You voted already. I didn't. Yeah. I'm not sure I even will take a side, to
okay.
be frank with you. But I think. Well, as you know, tomorrow we have a guest on, so we won't be discussing this.
No, but I mean for the country.
But
tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. I mean, it is my deepest, most profound hope that there are no incidents that. That everything can happen peacefully, you know, that regardless, we're going to have a large chunk of the country that's frankly unhappy tomorrow. And regardless, you know, I think the next president is probably going to be the least popular president we've ever had. And almost certainly it would seem a one-term president. But regardless, despite that, I want there to be a coming together and a peacefulness because I think that the tensions are high enough to where we could see some unfortunate things happen because the emotions are so high.
Mm.
And that I really don't want to see that,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
Regardless on either side. I want to see an orderly, peaceful next chapter, whatever it may be. Mm. And, you know, agree or disagree with either one of them, you know, I will accept whatever happens today. I mean,
yeah.
you have to. It's really beyond our personal control, and to let that occupy real estate in my head is not going to serve me.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to make me a better person to be stressing out and worrying about whatever, you know, whatever the results are.
Yeah.
So that's my opinion.
I'm glad that the exit poll was at 85% are relieved and glad that it's over. I think we're going to be okay. I think everything is going to work out. And people are going, that's maybe my projection, my belief. I wouldn't have believed it a month ago. I wouldn't have believed it 2 weeks ago. But for some reason today, I'm feeling like, you know, it's such a great day out there.
Yeah,
all over the country.
And the feeling out in the city is palpable.
And it is a peaceful day. And you know, it's different than other election days. I didn't see a lot of candidates or people polling. I mean, they're really respecting the laws about not polling outside the polling centers. It's very civil. So I don't know where it's going to be, you know, in other polarized states in the country, but I think we're going to be all right.
Just to reiterate and explain what Kevin was talking about, earlier in the show we discussed an exit poll of voter emotions, and the overwhelming top choice, 85% of people surveyed said that their greatest, highest sentiment was they just want it to be over. And I think we can all agree with that, connect with that, that this circus is, three-ring circus is leaving town finally. But yeah, it's been very emotional, very, very high strung. I feel physically, Kevin, I feel the relief of finally being done with this election cycle. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of fear. It seems like, you know, the true believers on both sides really think that this is the end, that this is the, I heard someone call it the season finale of America, if the candidate that they don't like wins. And I just have a feeling that we're going to be okay, as you said before, Kevin, that we, as a country, I think we are much bigger than our politicians, and we are much more, you know, I think the people are much more important than, you know, a figurehead leader. But that's just me. I know a lot of people disagree.
People feel that my opinion is not, you know, is not necessarily the truth and the way, you know. Yes, you take a strong position in order to get your goals met and get people in office that you want. But, you know, if it doesn't work out, I think people in general say, you know what? I had that opinion. But, you know, there's room for the other side. I can make room for them. We can go forward somehow. So whoever's going to be in there is going to have to bring together the other 49%, whoever it is. And we've done that in the past, and we will do that. For me, you know, the whole thing is I'm hoping for a media change, that the media changes, that we somehow get substance in our media. And we just came off this fun drive,
stay tuned to WBAI.
And we were talking about the virtue of and we were talking about the virtue of WBAI, where, you know, you get sincere reporting.
I just want to make
accurate reporting.
A quick response to a few listener emails that we received
already. Yeah,
asking about the Enneagram that we were talking
about. Oh, okay. Yeah,
the Enneagram, spelled E N N E A G R A M.
Yeah,
it's a personality typing system.
Right,
and you can take a test that will inform you of your type. There are 9 types, and each of these types have characteristics, innate instinctual characteristics. And so to those of you who emailed us asking what that's all about, well, we spent most of the last month talking about it.
Yeah.
But again, that's spelled E-N-N-A, I'm sorry, E-N-N-E-A-G-R-A-M.
And we offer it here at the center. I mean, Armand used it as a tool to help people, and I use it now, and we use the Hudson Riso Enneagram test here at the center.
Yeah, you can give us a call
at
212-757-4488. We'd be happy to talk about it with you.
Yeah, and you might discover what was a contributing factor in the way you voted. Were you voting for security? Were you voting for a protector? Were you voting for an achiever?
Were you voting for something or against something?
Yes. Yeah, and I think a lot of people voted against something.
I think so.
This year. But, you know, the Enneagram helps you discover what you're voting for. And what aspects of yourself you want to see more of out there in the world. So are you a helper? Are you a giver? If you're a 2, you might have picked a candidate who you think is really nurturing, a giving soul, is somebody who's going to give to other people and put them first. That's what the 2 and the giver does. If you're a 5, you know, you tend to be isolated and secluded and suspicious. And you want a person who knows a lot, who has some sort of special knowledge in office, who's really knows the secret and keeps it to themselves, but really gets things done, then, you know, that's the observer, the investigator, the 5 position. So you might, if you do this Enneagram test, discover, what is it that motivates me? I didn't really get a sense of the substance of these 2 characters this whole election cycle, but I made a decision. I'm wondering, I didn't base it totally on substance and logic and reason.
You could say who you
I did,
for.
You know, but no, I'm not saying.
You're not going
to
say?
No, of course not. But, you know, I know that I looked for qualities from my own personality in the candidates and drifted and gravitated towards that person. So, you know, the Enneagram is a great tool to self-discover and discover also how you see the world.
I want to say, Kevin, I've really enjoyed having this conversation with you today. It's been cathartic for me on a personal level, just to talk about this stuff, get it out. Regardless of what happens, you know, we'll be back with you tomorrow and next week.
And we have a healer on tomorrow.
Absolutely.
A guy who's really been through a personal difficulty for years and then triumphed over it and has a message of health and healing and hope.
Absolutely. So that's tomorrow at 1 p.m. Join us. You've been listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM. Thank you so much. Maybe sure to get out to the polls and vote if you want to. If you don't, hey.
We'll be together.
New York's going blue no matter what, so.
Yeah.
Thanks again, everyone, and tune in tomorrow, 1 p.m., 99.5 FM, WBAI.